This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been precisely 31 years since a shy young woman with a doctorate in astrophysics, a mean tennis serve, and a mega galactic smile took off in the space shuttle Challenger, orbited the Earth for 6 days, and powered through a major glass ceiling by becoming the first American woman in space. That young woman was Sally K. Ride. She died of pancreatic cancer 2 years ago, and her friend Lynn Scherr, who covered the space shuttle program for ABC News, has written a comprehensive biography of Ride. She's coming to Baltimore to speak about it at the Ivy Bookshop tomorrow evening, and Lynn Scherr joins us now on the line. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Hi, Sheila. Great to be with you.
It's great to talk to you. I should tell our listeners that we were colleagues at ABC News for years, and it's really great to talk to you again. You and Sally Ride were both newbies when you met in 1981. You had just started covering the shuttle program for ABC News. She was training in the first class of astronauts that included women. You've been friends ever since, and yet you write that some things you unearthed as you wrote the book surprised you. What surprised you?
Totally. I guess like the rest of the world, I only found out for the first time when she died that she'd been in a relationship with another woman for 27 years, Tam O'Shaughnessy. Mm-hmm. I knew that Tam existed. I knew they wrote children's science books together, but I didn't know about their partnership. And it made me, it surprised me. It made me kind of sad. And mostly it just made me say, I'm really sorry that they felt they couldn't share it publicly because I would have liked to share their happiness with them.
You write a beautiful chapter about how they sort of sorted it through, literally, on Sally Ride's deathbed, sorting out with Tam what would be said in that obituary you read.
Indeed. And I think it's important to know that this Tam gets full credit for this because she's the one that said, wait a minute, when you're gone, and they were planning a celebration after she was gone as a way to relieve the grief, the horrible grief, knowing that Sally was about to die. And then she said, wait a minute, how do I identify myself? Who am I to you, to the public? And Sally said to her, look, whatever you want to do is fine with me. You go ahead and do it. It's your call. And Tam went and wrote this obituary that she did not release until, of course, Sally died. Sally never saw it, but left it in Tam's hands. And I guess Sally's feelings were at this point, you know, she's the living partner, and she gets to do what she wants. I'm not 100% sure Sally would have revealed that in her own lifetime, but who knows? You know, the world had changed so much.
Yeah, but that deep reticence, I mean, you write at one point, she never told her ex-husband herself that about the relationship with Tam, even though she stayed friends with her husband. Wait, did that come from within Sally Ride, or was that the pressure of the era?
It's a great question, Sheila, and I believe it's a combination. Again, this is something Sally never talked about with anybody, even with Tam. And there's no knowing what was really going on. But my assessment, having done interviews with some 200 people and worked on this for 2 years and known her for 30, I think it was a combination of the fact that she was an introvert by nature. That was in her genes. And also, when she and Tam first got together as a couple, which was 1980-something, the world was in a different place, and it wouldn't have worked for Sally to let NASA know at the time, and I think she just sort of went along on her track and was not really cognizant of how much the world had changed.
Even separate from that part of her life, just you describe the enormous outpouring of attention when she trained and became the first woman,
American woman.
In space. And you write about the psychic price that she paid for being the first woman. What is that? What do you mean
by
that?
This is a woman who was most comfortable and happiest in a room with maybe one or possibly two other people. She really liked her own company, and she wanted a very, very small cohort around her. And yet she was in a situation where she was giving thousands, maybe tens of thousands of speeches, facing auditoriums full of people with thousands of people in them. She psyched herself up for every single one. She knew perfectly well she had flown at government expense. She had been in a government program. It was taxpayer money. This was part of the give back, and she did it beautifully. But she really paid a price for that. She had to make herself get on that stage and go through with every single one of these public events. you know, you and I are used to dealing with the public. We go on television, we go on the radio, and we know how to deal with it. Sally learned how to deal with it, but it was absolutely not her comfort zone.
On 88.1, this is Marilyn Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Lynn Scherr, who was covering the space shuttle for ABC News when she met and bonded with Sally Ride. We're talking about the biography Lynn has just published, Sally Ride, America's First Woman in Space. She flew on two Challenger missions and was training for a third when another Challenger mission blew up in 1986, 73 seconds after launch, killing its crew, which included Judy Resnick, one of that first class of women astronauts who had trained with Ride. Did that tragedy shake Sally Ride's faith in NASA?
I think it really did. Now, keep in mind, this is a woman who was a scientist, and there was a little bit of the engineer in her as well. So her way of approaching a problem was to say, what happened? Let's replicate the problem. Let's find out, and then let's fix it. When they found out that it was, of course, the famous O-rings, and they found that out largely because Sally managed to find or be handed a document that she gave to the board, the Rogers Commission, investigating the accident. So she was a key player in finding out what had happened. But she understood the scientific reason. More devastating to Sally was learning the management flaws, understanding that in the chain of decision-making, there had been some veering off course. This is not the way NASA normally did business. This was people ramming something through for the wrong reasons. This, I think, is what really upset her. It wasn't about the technology. That could be fixed. It was about human beings who were not taking human lives into account, and that's what really troubled her.
What did she do after she left NASA?
Well, you know, after she left, well, first the first thing is she went and did the investigation of the Challenger. Then she went to headquarters in Washington and was asked to write a report on the future of NASA. She was once the bright young face of NASA. She became its conscience all of a sudden. She left NASA in 1987, and then she went to an arms control think tank at Stanford University, and after that went down to the University of California, San Diego, where she taught for 20-some years, taught physics and astrophysics and space science. And then she started a company with a couple of partners called Sally Ride Science, whose sole purpose is to get middle school kids, mostly girls, interested and committed to math and science. She wanted to give back. She wanted kids to appreciate the joy of science. She saw they didn't have to be astronauts, but she understood that we need scientists to save our planet, and that's what she was helping train them for.
And you write about what a role model she was for young girls when she flew on the shuttle. What does she mean to young people now?
The ones that have heard of her, and isn't this horrible that I have to say that, but it's true, you know, it was 31 years ago. A lot of them study her in their social studies classes, and that's great. The ones that may not have heard of her because of the space shuttle may have heard of her because of her many connections with schools through her company. And I'm hoping the book will get through their parents and to the kids as well, because she does represent not only what a wonderful thing she did for other women in the space program, but for women in general. You know, when she flew, I think that a lot of women, and young women in particular, translated her very bold journey into their own tickets to success. And they said, if she can do this, we can do anything. So she was busily crashing through the celestial glass ceiling, right, the ultimate glass ceiling. And even if it was about getting out of the typing pool or getting into medical school or whatever level your interest was, what she did made other women stand up and say, I can do something too. And I hope that girls take that exact same message, that the sky is not the limit. They can do anything they want.
Lynn, thank you.
Thank you.
Lynn Scherr's new biography is called Sally Ride, America's First Woman in Space. Lynn will be in Baltimore tomorrow evening to talk about her friend at the Ivy Bookshop on Falls Road, 7 p.m. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Marilyn Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Marilyn Morning, Tom Hall takes us to the new Museum of Negro Leagues Baseball. Stay with us on 88.1.